This is the BBC.
You're listening to The Archers Omnibus from BBC Radio 4.
Does Gran need a seat?
Don't worry. I think she's going to sit with Jennifer. As long as Helen can see us.
If we're lucky, there won't be enough room left for Rob's dad. It'll serve him right for banging on about getting justice for his son.
Bruce Titchener can parade himself in front of the cameras as much as he likes, Tom. That's not why we're here.
No, I know.
Watch out. Here he comes now.
Huh? Well, at least Ursula isn't with him. Helen does know that Mum and Kirsty aren't allowed in the gallery until they've given their evidence.
I'm sure she does.
Otherwise, she's going to wonder why they're not here.
Anna will have explained it to her. I think they're bringing her in now. Helen. Helen, sweetheart. Don't worry. It'll all be okay. She looks all right, doesn't she?
Yeah. Although I think she's lost some more weight.
She looks smart in that outfit, though. You look great.
All right.
It's going to be over soon.
Dad, the judge...
Oh, right. Here we go.
Whilst you mustn't talk to anyone who is not on the jury, you are free to discuss proceedings amongst yourselves. However, you should only do so when you are all together in the privacy of the jury room, not in twos and threes. And it is vital that you do not reach any premature conclusions. As I've already impressed upon you, you are trying this case solely on the evidence with which you are presented in court, and you must hear all of that evidence before making your decision. I'll remind you of these directions as we go on, but for now I will ask the prosecution to tell us what this case is about. Mr. Bywater.
Thank you, Your Honour. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this case is about a wife stabbing her husband in the kitchen of their family home in the presence of her 5-year-old child. I anticipate the defence will suggest that this was an act of self-defence. We say this is incredible, given the evidence you will hear. Robert and Helen Titchener married in July 2015, and Mrs. Titchener fell pregnant shortly afterward. But difficulties in the relationship emerged over the course of her pregnancy as Mrs. Titchener's behaviour became more erratic and secretive. The defendant has a history of instability, and this culminated in a heated argument on the night of the 4th of April this year.
A history of instability?
When Mrs. Titchener announced she was leaving her husband.
How can they say that? She had an eating disorder.
I know, Tom, I know.
The only person she'd ever tried to hurt is herself.
Stabbing Mr. Titchener in the abdomen and the chest and lacerating his wrist. Mrs. Titchener did not call for the police or an ambulance. In fact, it was only with the fortunate arrival of her friend Kirsty Miller that the emergency services were summoned at all.
Look at the way they're looking at her.
Police attended
the jury.
They're
judging her already.
She was taken to Borchester Police Station, where she received the medical examination. In contrast to her husband's life-threatening injuries, she was found to have sustained a small red mark on her arm.
Let's hope it's a good thing there are more
women than men. She was interviewed on caution, but elected to answer no comment.
You never know, they might be more sympathetic.
You will hear from a number of witnesses about events on that night. Mr. Titchener himself and their young son, Henry.
Dad, did you see
Kirsty
that?
Mr. Miller?
The guy on the end, he was smirking.
Tom, shush. We're getting looks from the usher.
Mr. Titchener's injuries. You will also hear evidence that Mrs. Titchener made threats towards her husband's life in the weeks before the incident, witnessed by her own mother and mother-in-law.
Given that Mrs. Titchener claims she was acting in self-defense, it is for the prosecution to prove otherwise. Of course, the defence has to prove nothing. Let me now hand out the indictment so you can see how the prosecution put their case. You'll see, there are two counts on the indictment. Count one is attempted murder. Count two is section 18, wounding with intent. These are alternative charges. The prosecution say Mrs. Titchener is guilty of attempted murder.
However, if you're not sure she intended to kill Mr. Titchener, at the very least, she intended to cause him really serious harm. Now, nothing I say is evidence. I only outline the case to give you an idea of the nature of the evidence you will hear. So, with your Honour's leave, I'll call the first witness, Mr. Robert Titchener.
Oh, you have to be kidding me. What's he doing? Rob hasn't needed a walking stick for weeks now.
All right, okay.
Isn't Anna going to say something? How's he being allowed to do this?
Keep your voice down. Bruce is behind us.
I don't give a damn.
We knew he'd do this. We knew that he'd play for sympathy. We just have to rise above it and trust that the jury see through the performance.
Oath or affirmation?
Oath, please.
Read card.
I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
When I arrived home, everything seemed normal. The table was laid, dinner was in the oven. But then Helen announced she'd cooked tuna bake.
And why is that significant?
Well, Helen knows I really can't stand it. Early on in our relationship, she made a meal, a tuna with tagliatelle. She got very upset when I said I couldn't eat it.
So what did you make of her cooking tuna again for you now?
Wasn't sure. By that point, every day was like walking on thin ice. She was forgetting things. Her moods were all over the place. So I decided the best thing to do was pretend to enjoy it.
You ate the meal, even though it turned your stomach?
Yes, sir, I did.
How did Mrs. Titchener react to that?
She seemed annoyed, as if she'd been trying to provoke me. And when I didn't respond, she got more and more angry. Until eventually she grabbed my plate and smashed it on the floor.
Did you feel threatened?
Threatened?
Were you scared of your wife on that occasion?
Yes, I was scared, but for her, she was hysterical, saying that I could never love the baby as much as her, that by trying to be a good husband and father, I was muscling in somehow, that once she'd left, I would never see my children again.
What did you do then?
Well, I begged her not to. I admit I might have even grabbed her arm, but she was 34 weeks pregnant. I had no idea where she was going.
Let's be clear, though. Did you try to restrain her in any other way?
Absolutely not, sir.
What happened then?
That was when Henry came in, our son. I turned around, told him to go back upstairs. Next thing I knew, I felt a sharp pain in my side. I turned back around and saw Helen holding the kitchen knife. Even then, it took me a while to make the connection. When I did, all I could think about was protecting her and Henry and our unborn child. I tried to take the knife from her.
Take your time, Mr. Titchener. I know this must still be very traumatic for you.
Thank you. Helen was jabbing and lashing out with the knife. It didn't seem real. I remember looking down and seeing the end of it disappearing into my shirt front. I fell, knocking a pan over, and well, that's the last thing I can clearly recall. Seeing my own eye reflected back at me in the side of the saucepan.
Thank you, Mr. Titchener.
Mr. Titchener, are you able to continue?
Yes. Thank you, Your Honour.
Very good. Yes, Miss Tregaron.
Mr. Titchener, you're clearly an extremely charming, capable, attractive man. When you first met the defendant, you must have seemed quite the catch, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't know. I think that's for others to judge.
No, but there she is, a single mum in her mid-30s, and in new stride, a tall, dark, handsome stranger. You must have swept her off her feet.
I've already explained. The feeling was mutual.
Yes. In your words, it was a dream come true. Trouble is, dreams aren't the same as reality, are they, Mr. Titchener?
No, they're not.
And when things aren't exactly as you want them, you get angry, don't you?
No, I don't.
Mr. Gorham, has this line of questioning been agreed with the prosecution?
It has, Your Honour. So you've never lost your temper with the defendant, Mr. Titchener?
No.
Not when she's worn something you didn't approve of?
No.
Or prepared you a meal that you didn't like?
No.
Or when you've had your mother living with you for a month and your wife simply wonders if it's time she left? How angry did you get then? Angry enough to hit her?
I didn't hit her.
Oh. How would you describe it then?
I gave her a slap.
You slapped your wife across the face?
Yes. And I've never regretted anything more in my life. Helen was very ill. My mother had only been trying to help.
And that justifies your behaviour?
No, it's unforgivable. But unless you lived with a depressed person... I was near the end of my tether.
Really? How much nearer did you get when you found out she was leaving you? Your wife didn't pick up the knife, as you claim. You put it into her hand and dared her to kill herself. Isn't that right, Mr. Titchener?
Why on earth would I do that?
To humiliate her. And then when Henry came downstairs, you lunged at him.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
And
it's just what I've been telling you. She's crazy. She's a fantasist.
Instinctively went to
the woman's a compulsive liar.
You're a bully, aren't you, Mr. Titchener? And after months of living with your abuse and your mind games, and having her pregnancy used against her, your wife decided she had to get away. The only problem was that you wouldn't let her. Isn't that what really happened? Would you answer my question?
Mr. Titchener?
I just don't understand why I'm being attacked like this. Maybe I didn't do everything right, but I tried. I tried to find help for her.
Mr. Titchener.
Let the witness speak.
I just wanted her to get better so we could be a family again, and she still did this to me. Why, Helen? All I ever did was love you. Was that so very wrong?
Fallon.
Kirsty.
What took so long? I saw you coming in.
It were just the studs on my belt. They kept setting the detector off.
I didn't think they were ever going to let you through.
So, how are you feeling?
Oh, like I want to throw up.
I don't blame you. Harrison's given evidence later and all.
Last time I was in court, it was for trashing GM crops. Oh. I don't remember being this nervous, though.
No, I bet.
Still, it's good of you to come. Oh. Harrison must be grateful, too. I mean, I know it's his job.
So he keeps telling me.
What?
Oh, nothing. You're right. I just wish he didn't have to. OK, so he's a prosecution witness. He has to be honest about what he saw when he turned up at the cottage. Well, you know.
Yeah.
I get it. It don't change the fact that he's Helen's friend, too. I mean, he must know she ain't guilty. Are they going to ask him that?
I doubt it.
Are they going to ask you?
Well, if they don't, I'm going to say it anyway. Oh, did you see the news yesterday?
Bits and pieces. Is it true that Rob was in tears? Oh,
bleeding his heart out, so Tom says. Making it seem as though he's the kind, devoted husband and Helen's some sort of dangerous lunatic.
I know, it was all folk could talk about in the Bull last night.
Oh, all the more reason to say something then.
Yeah, but will they let you? I mean, Harrison keeps going on about how he can only answer the questions he's given.
I know, but...
I mean, you're a prosecution witness as well. What if you get in trouble?
Well, what else can I do? Someone has to tell the truth about Rob Titchener.
Mr. Ellis, the prosecution would have us believe that the three wounds you've described were inflicted deliberately.
Yes, that's right.
But isn't it also possible that after the first stab wound to the abdomen, the other two were accidental?
I'm sorry, I don't quite...
The laceration to the wrist, for instance. Might it not have been caused by the defendant fending Mr. Titchener off as he tried to attack her and his hands getting in the way?
Well, yes, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Well, you'd have to ask a forensic expert. When I operated on Mr. Titchener, my priority was saving his life.
No, absolutely. Nonetheless, when asked by the prosecution about the force required to inflict the injury to the chest, you were quite definitive.
Mr. Titchener is a well-built man. The knife penetrated the external oblique and the intercostal muscles before puncturing his lung.
Yes, but couldn't the momentum of his body lunging towards the defendant have contributed to the depth of the wound?
If that's what happened.
And perhaps the weight of his body as he fell pushed the knife in even further. Is that possible?
Well, anything's possible. It doesn't seem very likely, though.
But it is possible the two subsequent wounds were accidental, and not the premeditated attempt that the prosecution has tried to claim.
I suppose so.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, of course. It's possible.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Bywater, do you wish to re-examine the witness?
Yes, Your Honour, I do.
Mr. Ellis, with all your years of experience as a trauma surgeon, how would you rank the severity of Mr. Titchener's injuries?
In terms of the number of wounds inflicted, I've treated more serious cases. The wounds in themselves, though, each one could have proved fatal.
Let me just clarify that point. You're saying all three wounds had the potential to kill Mr. Titchener?
Yes. He's very lucky to still be alive.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. I've nothing else. Any further questions, Your Honour?
No, no questions. Mr. Ellis, the court is extremely grateful to you for sparing what I'm sure is your very valuable time. You may now leave the witness box.
Thank you, Your Honour.
Mr. Bywater, when you're ready, would you please call your next witness?
Thank you. With Your Honour's leave, I call Master Henry Archer to give evidence. Henry Archer is the defendant's 5-year-old son, and his evidence in chief will therefore be presented by way of a pre-recorded interview.
The interview took place 3 days after the incident in question and was conducted by...
So has Henry told you what he said to them?
...officer, Detective Constable Wendy Sharples.
No, and we haven't asked. We've been trying to shield it from him.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He was the only one there who actually saw what went on.
Oh, you don't like to think. But poor little thing. I mean, how's he supposed to understand?
Shh, shh.
Sorry.
When you go upstairs to bed, what's the first thing you do?
I get undressed and put on my pyjamas.
And what do you do after that?
Mummy, Daddy and Grandma Arthur help me do my teeth. And then they read me a story.
Oh, that sounds nice. And do you take any toys to bed with you?
Yes, my red Power Ranger.
And why is that?
He sits on my pillow and keeps me safe when I'm sleeping.
Tom, look at Helen.
Why is that, Henry? Why do you need him to keep you safe?
Is this the first time she's seen him?
We recorded some messages for her in prison.
It's okay. You don't have to tell.
It ain't right not letting her see her boy.
I'm just being a bit nosy. That's all.
Look what this is doing to her. It's tearing her heart out.
Sorry, Fallon, do you mind?
No, I'm sorry. Why do you need the red Power Ranger to protect you?
Mummy's not very well. She gets upset and cries sometimes.
Right, I see. And when was the last time Mummy was upset? Where did Mummy get the knife from? Do you know?
No.
And after Mummy hit Daddy with it the first time, what happened then?
They were fighting. Daddy tried to grab it off her, but he fell down.
Oh, right.
Mummy said he was sleeping, but it isn't very nice sleeping on the floor.
No, I bet it's not. And why do you think Mummy and Daddy were fighting? You know, you're doing so well, Henry. A couple more questions and we're done.
Daddy was angry. He was shouting.
Who was he shouting at? At you. And why was he doing that?
I was naughty coming downstairs. I'm not supposed to get out of bed until the morning.
Well, what did Daddy do next? Henry, I promise we're almost finished.
He said to go back to my room.
Tom, I don't know what to say.
There's nothing to say. Although I don't think I can face having lunch.
No.
Are you meeting Harrison?
Supposed to be, yeah. Oh, come here. You're all being so strong.
Oh, thanks.
Hearing little Henry describe what he saw like that and then seeing Helen break down.
I know.
I mean, Harrison's told me a few things, but I thought he was being all letter of the law. The way that video made it sound, though. There will be more evidence, won't there, Tom, on Helen's side? Because at the moment it...
Yeah, of course.
And when you spoke to the defendant the first time, Miss Miller, how did she sound?
Stressed, I guess. I could hear she was anxious.
So why didn't you drive straight over to see her?
She insisted she was fine.
In fact, you didn't do that until Mrs. Titchener rang you again some 9 minutes later. What did she say to you then?
She was hyperventilating. She was crying. I mean, she was in a complete panic. She didn't know what she'd done.
Excuse me, but the question was about what she said.
No, I know.
Could you tell us her exact words, please?
She said, "Kirsty, he's dead. I've killed him." But she was beside herself.
Did you ask if she called for an ambulance?
No, I don't think so.
And when you arrived at Mr. and Mrs. Titchener's home, what did you find?
Look, I know how this must be coming across, but if you'd any idea how he'd...
Would you like me to remind you what you said in your statement?
No. Thank you. Helen was waiting for me at the door. She was shaking and there was blood on her hands. I asked her where Rob was and she told me he was in the kitchen. I went to look and... Rob was on the floor, sort of crumpled over himself. There was broken crockery everywhere and a large pool of blood.
Where was the knife?
Lying next to him.
Is this it? I'm now showing the witness Exhibit 1.
Yes, that's it.
Carry on.
Helen was so terrified. She didn't want me to go near him. But that's when I noticed Rob was still breathing. I shouted at her to fetch some towels while I rang for help.
So you called the ambulance?
Yes.
Not Mrs. Titchener?
No.
And what did you do then?
Well, the operator kept me on the line while I tried to stop the bleeding. It seemed to take forever before the medics arrived.
13 minutes. And during that time, what was Mrs. Titchener doing?
She was traumatised.
Did she try to help?
She had Henry to think of.
Miss Miller, I'm sure the court would appreciate it if you'd simply answer the question. What practical attempts did the defendant make to help save her husband's life?
She didn't make any.
Thank you. Miss Miller, when you first entered the kitchen, had the defendant tried to clear up at all?
The only thing Helen ever intended to do was escape. She couldn't breathe in that house. It's why I gave her the mobile. She couldn't use her own phone without Rob checking.
So it wasn't to aid the two of you in some sort of plot, as the prosecution implies?
No.
When you met in secret, you weren't conspiring against Mr. Titchener.
I was worried about my best friend. When I came back to Ambridge, I hardly recognised her. She'd always adored her work, but Rob made her give it up. And the saddest part is she still loved him. Even when she decided to leave, she said she just needed some space.
It must have come as an enormous shock then, when Mrs. Titchener called to say what had happened.
Yeah, for a while I couldn't make sense of it.
She didn't just tell you she'd killed her husband, did she?
No. She told me he'd made her choose.
Choose?
Yes. She said she had to make him stop.
And how did you interpret those words?
Well, isn't it obvious? He'd attacked her.
Your Honour, I object to this line of questioning. The defence are inviting the witness to speculate.
I agree, Mr. Bywater.
But what else could it mean?
Thank you, Miss Miller.
Look at him, sitting there, shaking his head. Well, I'm telling you, Rob Titchener is the worst
that
kind of abuser because he doesn't leave any bruises. He lies and he bullies and he manipulates. He tried to destroy my best friend and he's still doing it.
Any more outbursts, you'll be held in contempt. Is that understood?
Fine by me. I've said what I came here to say.
I'm not disputing that, Tony, but causing a scene and getting reprimanded by the judge.
Kirsty was pretty unapologetic about it last night.
I'm sure she was, but it's not going to impress a jury now, is it? And as for when the prosecution barrister re-examined...
Oh, no, that was ludicrous. Implying Kirsty was jealous of Helen's marriage because of what had happened between her and Tom. I mean, come on.
Yes, but it made Kirsty look even more hot-headed, which is exactly how she came across.
Well, there's nothing we can do about it now. We just have to get on.
Morning, Tony. Oh. Mrs. Woolley.
Morning, Anna.
Good morning.
Has Pat gone through to the waiting room?
Yes, one of the ushers is taking her there. It's not been good for her the last couple of days. She's been winding herself up.
Well, I'm sure she'll be fine. The prosecution only have four more witnesses. There's Rob's mother, then Pat, followed by D.S. Maidley and the police duty doctor.
What's he going to say?
Oh, just that he passed Helen fit for interview, I expect. After which I'll be calling Helen for the defence.
How is she? Have you seen her?
Bearing up. When I spoke to her earlier, her attention was mainly on Jack.
Right.
Yes, of course.
She knows this is her moment, though, and it's my job to get the best out of her. Mm. In fact, I ought to go and prepare. I'll see you in the courtroom.
Yes, thank you, Anna. Oh, please let Helen be up to it.
Take a seat.
Okay, thanks.
A copy of your statement's there.
Oh, right, yes. Seems such a long time ago since I made it. I hardly remember what I said.
It won't change anything, you know. No matter how many times you reread
Ursula.
It.
Ursula...
I imagine you heard about yesterday.
Sorry?
What am I saying? You probably put her up to it. Making up all those terrible lies about Robert.
Oh, you mean Kirsty?
Yes, well, I don't need to tell lies. You know exactly what your daughter is, Pat.
Ursula, honestly...
There's no point making excuses for her.
They aren't excuses.
Mrs. Titchener?
Helen was upset.
This way, please.
She was distressed about Henry.
Oh, of course. I'm so sorry.
You can't think she actually meant what she said that day. Oh, please, Ursula, Helen didn't mean any of this.
It was simply an idea which we were exploring for the future. Nothing had been decided.
And can you tell the court why you were exploring the idea of boarding school for Henry, for the future?
Well, we were genuinely scared Henry wasn't safe around Helen.
Because of incidents like the hot bath?
Yes, precisely. You couldn't predict what she'd do next. I mean, it's one thing having a difficult pregnancy, and I tried to understand her problems with eating, but whatever I did to help, I'd get snapped at, or she'd have a tantrum. By the time I left to go home, my nerves were in shreds.
And where were the defendant's family during all this?
There's a question. We didn't see much of them. And poor Robert, he had to work. So then when you add a new baby into the mix as well, it's impossible to see how she'd cope, even with antidepressants.
And what was Mrs. Titchener's reaction when she found out you'd been considering a different school?
I'm not sure I've got the right words.
Well, use whichever words you feel most comfortable with.
Well, she went berserk, shouting and screaming. She was completely unhinged. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. She said to my face that she wanted to kill my own son. So don't tell me it was just a flippant remark.
You don't believe so?
No. How could it be? Look at what happened. And she almost succeeded too.
I do solemnly and sincerely and truly declare and affirm that the evidence I shall give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Mr. Bywater.
Thank you, Your Honour. Mrs. Archer, the defendant is your daughter, and you were there when she's alleged to have made a threat against the life of her husband. How would you describe your daughter's health around that time?
She hadn't been well. She'd been sick with anaemia.
In the statement you made to the police, you say she was fragile. Is that a word you'd still use?
Yes.
And what words did Mrs. Titchener use when she made her threat?
Well, it's hard to remember.
Just tell the court what you wrote in your statement.
She said, I swear I'll kill him, but she
did... Thank you, Mrs. Archer. That will be all.
What?
I've nothing else.
Pat, where are you going? Don't do this.
I just need a moment, Tony.
Come on, come back inside.
Please.
It wasn't as bad as you think.
Oh, yes, it was. I was dreadful. I've let Helen down.
No, the prosecution didn't give you a chance. It was better when Anna cross-examined you, wasn't it? You made it clear Helen only said those things in the heat of the moment.
It's not enough. I had all these things I wanted to say, but as soon as I stepped into the witness box, Helen wouldn't even look at me.
Helen's not looked at anyone today.
So what was your reaction to discovering Mr. Titchener had been looking at boarding schools without telling you?
I was furious, I admit that. But by that point I'd already lost so much control over my life. Rob told me what I could eat, what I could wear, even how I was going to have my baby. He wanted a home birth.
And did you want a home birth?
Not at all. I'd had complications with my first pregnancy. The doctors were telling me I should have Jack in hospital, but Rob insisted doctors didn't know anything. And so did his mother.
Oh, what rubbish.
Quiet in the public gallery, please.
Thank you, Your Honour. Mrs. Titchener, carry on. You were telling the court how your mother-in-law supported your husband's views.
Oh, yes, that's right. She took his side on everything. So when Henry told me Rob was going to send him away, I believed him.
And when you swore that you'd kill Mr. Titchener, what did you mean by that?
I didn't mean anything.
Was it just an expression, a figure of speech?
Yes. I was letting off steam.
Quite so. Were there other occasions when you felt Mr. Titchener's treatment of Henry was overly harsh? The incident with the soft toy, for instance?
Oh, yes, the bunny. I bought it as a present for Easter, but then Rob caught Henry eating chocolate when he'd been told not to, and made him throw the soft toy away. I could hear Henry sobbing in his room, but Rob said it was my fault for spoiling him. Henry kept having nightmares, you know, imagining his favourite toy in the cold and the dark in the bin outside, but Rob wouldn't let me go to him. He said he had to learn discipline.
Discipline? For eating some chocolate at Easter?
Yes, that's right.
Mrs. Titchener, did your husband often lose his temper?
Sometimes. Other times he'd just become very
Tony.
Stern.
Helen's doing all right, isn't she?
Or something.
You don't think she's too too rehearsed?
I started second.
She just seems so unemotional.
No, she's doing fine. She's just concentrating, that's all.
Then, all of a sudden he'd be affectionate again. He'd tell me how much he loved me and that I was imagining things.
Was Mr. Titchener ever physically violent towards you?
Oh, for goodness.
He hit me once.
Why was that?
Because you were hysterical.
Because I wanted
Ursula
to ask his mother to leave.
Oh, that's...
Don't let Ursula wind you up.
Oh.
I couldn't stand it any longer.
But how's this fair? Helen shouldn't have to give evidence in front of Rob and his parents. I could feel him staring at me when I was up there. How does she feel?
I told you what I said the last time I visited her. Just keep thinking about Jack and Henry. Helen knows what she has to do.
What did Mr. Titchener say?
He said I shouldn't have been allowed to have children. He said I shouldn't have brought Henry into the world. Rob picked up the kitchen knife and forced it into my hand. He said there was only one way I could leave, and that was by killing myself. He was taunting me, daring me to do it. And then Henry appeared in the doorway. Rob turned towards him. He shouted at him to go back to bed. But Henry wouldn't move. He was pleading with us to stop fighting.
Mrs. Titchener, what happened then?
Rob, he sort of went to grab Henry. I don't know, it all happened so quickly, I just knew I had to stop him.
Did you believe your son was in danger?
Yes. Even after I'd stabbed him, I wasn't sure what I'd done. Rob turned back around. He was demanding I give him the knife. He tried to take it from me.
What did you think he might do if he got it?
I didn't know. I was terrified. I was fighting him off. And then his expression changed. The breath sort of went out of him. He stumbled. It knocked over a saucepan of custard, and then he collapsed on the floor.
Why didn't you help him, Mrs. Titchener?
Henry had seen everything. I wanted to get him out of the room.
And why didn't you call for an ambulance?
I was in shock. My only thought was protecting my son.
Yes. Excuse me, Your Honour, but my assistant needs to consult with me. Forgive me while I turn my back. And she's with him now.
Miss Tregaron?
My apologies, Your Honour.
The court is waiting.
Yes, of course. Mrs. Titchener, did you call a domestic violence helpline only 10 days before the evening in question?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Your Honour, I submit a record of such a call being made on the 25th of March of this year. Mrs. Titchener, what did you discuss?
I'm sorry?
I do understand it was intended to be confidential, but I have to ask, what was on your mind?
I can't remember. I didn't stay on the line for long.
No, you ended the phone call before they could ask to take notes. Was it something you felt you could only discuss with a stranger? Something that you'd struggle to tell anyone else, even your friend Kirsty Miller? Mrs. Titchener, I know how unfair this must seem.
I can't talk about it.
But the court needs to know why you were so desperate to seek help.
Darling, I'm here.
Quiet, please.
Helen, why did you ring the helpline?
Rob, he was determined to have a baby. I told him I wasn't ready, but he wouldn't listen. The first time he plied me with wine, he held me down by my wrists.
I won't warn the public again.
I told myself he was my husband. It should be fine. But it wasn't fine, was it? Mum, Dad, I'm so sorry. Rob raped me. And not just once. It happened over and over again.
I'm going to throttle him.
Please, Tom, don't.
Rob had better stay in that courtroom because as soon as he steps
That's
outside...
It's not going to solve anything.
Kirsty!
Oh, it'd make me feel better.
Did you know? Did Helen tell you what he'd done to
no,
her?
No, Pat, honestly.
Come on, love.
I thought I'd imagined the
don't
worst.
Don't get upset. Helen managed to keep it together.
But he raped her, Tony.
God, I wish she'd stabbed him sooner.
Tom.
Sorry, Gran.
So what's happening now? I'm still not clear why the jury's been sent out.
The judge has to decide whether to allow Helen's claims in evidence.
But she said it now.
Yeah, the jury can't just disregard it.
Oh, no, I won't.
It's hardly something that they're going to forget.
Your Honour, the evidence being presented wasn't foreshadowed in any bad character application. Neither has Mr. Titchener been given the opportunity to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Bywater.
These are serious allegations that have not been corroborated.
I said thank you. Mr. Gorham, I must tell you this is not the way I expect cases to be conducted.
And I confess, Your Honour, my client's testimony has taken me by surprise. Nevertheless, I respectfully submit that it is non-defendant bad character evidence that the jury should be allowed to hear and assess for themselves. If they accept that the defendant was raped by Mr. Titchener, then it is clearly reprehensible behaviour, as defined by the Criminal Justice Act 2003, and is therefore capable of being important explanatory evidence.
I could see Helen was finding it hard to bond with the baby, but I thought it was circumstances.
Of course you did, Peggy.
It was such an appalling way to have to give birth. It never even occurred to me.
Oh, why would it, Gran?
Poor little mite. What a start in life.
How are you, Pat?
I still can't quite take it in.
Poor Helen. Knowing that's how little Jack was brought into the world. Not being able to share it with anyone.
And we were so delighted when Helen and Rob told me. I congratulated her.
Oh, no, love. I know.
I hugged Rob. I said it was wonderful news.
It's okay.
But it's not, Tony.
Oh, come on.
And you know it. We colluded.
How much easier did we make it for him?
Look, maybe you shouldn't go into the courtroom for a while.
Well, no, Tony, no.
It's not going to get any easier.
Well, Tony, I have to...
Dad's right. Even if they don't allow Helen's evidence, the prosecution still need to question her.
I know, but...
You too, Mum. I don't want you to have to hear any more of this.
Oh, why don't we go and sit in the cafe? Oh, just for a bit.
Yes, all right.
I can't. Helen needs me.
Please, love. It's not going to help her seeing you so upset. I'll still be there. This isn't easy for any of us.
Thank you, Miss Tregaron.
Your Honour, on behalf of the prosecution, I must admit that this is all far too late in the day. This evidence is clearly a recent concoction intended by the defendant to muddy the water.
And you will have an opportunity to cross-examine her in due course, Mr. Bywater. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding the irregular way it has been introduced, I find that the evidence is, in principle, capable of having substantial probative value in relation to a matter in these proceedings, namely whether the defendant acted in reasonable self-defence. However, no doubt, Mr. Bywater, you would seek my leave to recall Mr. Titchener to give evidence in rebuttal.
Your Honour, that may well be convenient, as it has come to my attention that a witness has come forward who makes a similar allegation against Mr. Titchener, which I will seek to persuade the court should also be admitted under the bad character provisions. Should I be successful, then it is only fair Mr. Titchener be given the opportunity to answer questions on that at the same time. I will address Your Honour in due course on that issue.
Very good. If there's nothing else, please bring the jury back in.
You had already packed your bags, though, hadn't you, Mrs. Titchener?
Yes, I had.
And you'd agreed with your friend, Ms. Miller, to let you and your son stay with her?
Yes, that's right.
So why, if you were already so afraid of your husband, didn't you just go? You'd made all the arrangements?
Instead,
you elected to stay and announce your departure. What was the reasoning behind that, Mrs. Titchener?
I wanted to explain.
Explain?
Yes, I wanted to take control of my life. I thought if I told Rob why I was leaving...
And when Mr. Titchener discovered the packed bag, as you claim, why didn't you leave then?
Rob wouldn't let me.
And yet somehow you still managed to call Ms. Miller.
I tried to call her.
And then when she called you straight back, you assured her you were fine. You said you hadn't told your husband
yet.
He
was watching.
And that you'd ring her back later.
I was pretending. I'd got used to pretending.
So you'd say you're a good actress, would you? Mr. Titchener did not put the knife into your hand, did
he? Yes, he did.
He might have raised his voice, but he didn't threaten your son.
Yes, he did.
Even if we suppose you were protecting your son, why stab your husband a second time? You still had the knife. Your husband's abdominal cavity was filling with blood.
He kept on coming at me.
The laceration to his wrist, that wasn't caused by him fending you off, but was the result of a third blow that failed to hit its mark. Isn't that right, Mrs. Titchener?
No, it's not.
So why didn't you call for an ambulance? Even when you eventually called Ms. Miller back, you still didn't ask for help.
I thought he was dead.
Yes, precisely, and you were ready for Ms. Miller to collect you.
No,
and the only reason he's alive today is because she, not you, decided not to leave him bleeding to death on the kitchen floor.
It wasn't like that!
Isn't that what really happened, Mrs. Titchener?
Can I get anyone another coffee?
Not for me.
Peggy?
No, thank you, dear.
It's time I went back in.
Really?
Are you sure, Pat? I'm not certain I'm up to it.
You know you don't have to.
Yes, I do.
Helen will know how upsetting this is for you.
Peggy, honestly...
It's going to be too hard for you.
It doesn't matter. Nothing can be as hard as what Helen's been through. I keep going over and over all the different ways I allowed this to happen.
Oh, Pat, come on.
I couldn't even get giving my evidence right.
You can't keep blaming yourself.
Exactly. That's all I've done. Meanwhile, Helen's had to be so incredibly brave. How can I not listen? However difficult it is, however guilty I might feel, it doesn't even come close to what Helen must be feeling, what she must have felt, the terror and the isolation.
That's true.
I've never been more proud of her.
All right. Well, in that case...
No, Peggy. Of course, you must go home.
Yeah, I can drive you home if you like.
Oh, I don't know.
Really, Peggy.
You've done enough.
Hardly.
Of course you have. Going all that way to be with Helen in hospital, visiting her in prison, it's more than I've been able to do.
That's not your fault, though.
No, but it doesn't change the fact that I haven't been there. Well, that's going to change. You go home, Peggy. I'm going to be there for Helen now.
The court understands that, Mrs. Titchener. The question being asked is, why did you opt to no comment?
It's what my solicitor told me to do.
I see. It wasn't because you needed to get your story straight.
No.
It wasn't because you hadn't had time yet to invent a far-fetched fantasy of domestic abuse.
No, it wasn't.
In a desperate attempt to blame Mr. Titchener for your heinous behaviour.
No, he did those things to me. Absolutely not.
Mrs. Titchener, how did you conceive your first child?
Sorry?
It's a simple question. How did you get pregnant with Henry?
I used a sperm donor.
A sperm donor, really? And did you know the donor? Was he perhaps a friend or...
No. I went to a clinic.
I see. So I presume at the time you didn't feel father was important.
It wasn't that. I was alone.
And you wanted a baby?
Yes.
You must have been delighted then when Mr. Titchener walked into your life.
To begin with?
The thought of having more children must have crossed your mind.
Maybe, at some point.
Are you sure it wasn't you who was desperate to get pregnant again?
No, it was Rob.
And as soon as you'd conceived, Mr. Titchener became dispensable. Just like the father was with your first child.
That's not fair.
Mr. Titchener did not force himself on you, did he?
I never knew Henry's father.
And the only reason you're suddenly accusing your husband of rape now is because you know you're facing a long prison sentence. Isn't that so, Mrs. Titchener?
I'm not lying. He raped me. I told him. I said I wasn't ready to have another baby, but he wouldn't listen. I know I should have stopped him.
Mrs. Titchener.
We were married. Why wouldn't I want his baby?
Please, Mrs. Titchener.
When I saw that look in his eyes.
Just answer my question specifically.
Just stay very quiet and not make a sound.
Your Honor, really.
I think the defendant's entitled to a little leeway on this subject. Don't you, Mr. Bywater? Please, Mrs. Titchener, there's no rush.
Thank you. After the first time, I knew something felt very wrong. But Rob kept telling me what a romantic night it had been, how much we both enjoyed it. He seemed so sincere. But then it happened again and again. And in the end, all I could do was block it out and make myself numb.
Mrs. Titchener, if I may, you still haven't explained why you've only chosen to submit this evidence now. You've had ample opportunity while in custody.
How could I? When I can hardly admit it to myself. When I sleep, I can still hear Rob's voice. And when I wake up in the morning and look at Jack, it's his face I see. How am I supposed to explain that to him when he grows up? I'm asking you how! Well, the last thing I want is for my son to feel the humiliation I'm feeling today.
Well, it doesn't feel like it's only the end of the third day, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Still, maybe after this afternoon, Helen's got more of a fighting chance.
Why? Are we supposed to be pleased about what Rob did to her?
No.
Tony, don't.
That's not what I meant at all. I'm just saying there's no way a jury can believe Rob's story now.
Don't you think so, Tom?
Nobody would put themselves through that unless they're telling the truth.
That's true.
Well, you can bet Rob'll deny it when he gets his chance.
Tony?
Oh, nothing, love. Well done. You did brilliantly in there. I'm glad you came back.
It was the only place I could be.
Pat, Tony, hang on.
Anna?
Oh, good, I've caught you.
Oh, do you need a hand with those folders? Oh,
thanks, Tom. Now, don't get too excited.
Why?
What is it?
Rob's ex-wife, Jessica.
Yes?
She's come forward. Dominic sent me a note while I was examining Helen.
What do you mean, come forward?
Come forward about what?
I can't really say, but it's significant. She's given us a statement.
But why now?
Oh, yes, exactly. I don't understand.
Couldn't she have done it sooner?
I did try to persuade her, but she said she'd been watching the news coverage over the past couple of days. She realised she had to speak out.
Speak out?
About Rob, you mean?
But can it help Helen?
As I said, we need to stay calm. Judge Loomis hasn't even allowed it as evidence yet. First things first, I have to persuade him to let Jess appear as a witness.
Have you seen the papers this morning?
I'm sorry?
What's the local rag called?
You mean the Echo?
6 months ago, they were still calling him a hero. Now they've decided to brand him a rapist. A rapist!
Okay, Dad, that's enough.
And I protested most vociferously for those accusations not to be admitted as evidence.
Most vociferously? Robert, are you going to flirt with this? This man's not got a clue.
May I remind you, Mr. Titchener, I represent the Crown Prosecution Service, not your son.
Well, say something.
What do you want me to say, Dad?
You will have the opportunity to rebut the accusations of rape made by your wife in due course. And you should be aware that depending upon the outcome of another bad character application, you may also be asked questions concerning your relationship with your ex-wife.
With Jess?
That Jezebel shouldn't be allowed to draw breath.
You don't mean she's coming forward? I was certain she wouldn't.
Why? Did you think it might be a possibility? Why else would you need to be certain?
I'm telling you, everything that woman says is lies.
Oh, yes, it's all right.
She's insane. She's never forgiven me for divorcing her.
And you need to put a stop to it.
Well, thank you for that.
So when am I allowed back in court?
First of all, the defence have to call their two character witnesses. After that, providing the bad character application is rejected, you'll be called to rebut your current wife's rape allegations.
And are you going to use the statement I made about Ian Craig?
I'm just not convinced it will help the case. It may be perceived as a smear.
A smear?
Yes.
Well, look at how the other side are behaving. What sort of barrister are you? They're not pulling their punches, neither should you.
Absolutely not. No, I've never seen Helen lash out, let alone do anything violent. She just isn't that sort of person.
Thank you, Mr. Craig. Does Your Honour have any further questions?
No further questions, Miss Tregaron. Mr. Bywater, does the prosecution wish to cross-examine the witness? Mr. Bywater, do you wish to cross-examine the witness?
Apologies, Your Honour. Yes, I do. Mr. Craig, you say the defendant is one of your best friends. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's right.
In fact, you and she are so close, she named her eldest son after you.
Yes, Henry Ian.
Indeed, quite so. Odd, then, that you were barely on speaking terms for some time. That's true as well, isn't it, Mr. Craig? The fact is that for several months before the incident in question, you'd hardly seen your so-called best friend.
Yeah, only because of Rob.
You were angry with Mr. Titchener, weren't you?
Angry?
After he informed you that your partner had been unfaithful. With a Polish seasonal worker and the manager of a large local estate. Isn't that true, Mr. Craig?
I don't see what that's got to do with
the
anything.
The only reason you've described the defendant in such glowing terms is because you still hold a grudge against her husband.
That's ridiculous.
You don't like Mr. Titchener, do you?
No, I don't.
Thank you, Mr. Craig. I have nothing else.
Ian. Oh, what a palaver. I've had such trouble parking. Ian? Hello?
Oh, Sheila, sorry.
Have they started?
I've just been given my evidence.
Oh, yes, of course. How did it go?
Actually, Sheila, I don't really want to talk about it. I'm just going to head home.
Why? How awful was it?
I'm sure you'll find out soon enough. Word's bound to get round the village.
But, Ian...
Hello, Sheila.
Oh, Rob, do you know what's happened? Ian looks as though he's been through 20 rounds.
Does he now? Well, I suppose that's what happens when you bring your agenda to court.
Agenda?
How about you? I hadn't expected to see you here.
No, I wasn't sure if I'd come, but I felt I ought to.
Well, it's appreciated.
Robert! There you are. The court's just adjourned.
Have you met my father, Bruce?
No, I don't think so.
No doubt the lawyers are arguing over how to turn this trial into even more of a farce.
Dad, this is Sheila Hebden Lloyd. We're both members of the South Borsetshire Hunt. It was her stables that were flooded last year.
Oh, right. Pleasure to meet you.
Yes, you too.
It's a relief to know there's at least one decent person who's on Robert's side.
Your Honour, this is clearly a tactic to ambush the prosecution with last-minute evidence. The defence is trying to obscure the facts of the case behind irrelevant accusations.
Your Honour, if I may.
Go ahead, Mr. Gorham.
The defence did not coerce Mr. Titchener's ex-wife to come forward. She did so of her own accord. Moreover, her evidence goes directly to Mr. Titchener's behaviour as a husband and is therefore capable of being important supporting evidence.
As the court must surely appreciate, many women are frightened into silence in cases such as this.
Yeah, thank you, Miss Tregonan.
The court might even conclude that it is an act of immense courage on the witness's part to come
forward. Miss Tregonan.
In the interests of justice, I submit that the jury should be allowed to consider her evidence.
Yes. All right. That may well be true, but I must make my decision on the basis of the law. I will retire to consider your submissions.
How long does it take for a jury to sit down?
Mr. Garland, the court's ready to hear your next witness.
Finally.
Thank you. With your honour's leave, the defence calls Miss Jessica Myers.
Something wrong?
I prayed I'd seen the last of that woman.
May I add to his honour's comment? I appreciate it hasn't been an easy decision for you to come here.
No. No, it hasn't. But I realised I had to say something. I'm sorry.
That's perfectly fine.
Would you like a glass of water, Miss Myers?
Yes, please.
Miss Myers, you were married to Mr. Titchener for 9 years until divorcing last year. May I ask, when did you and he first meet?
We've known each other since we were teenagers. We met at our local young farmers' club. Thank you.
And when did you become romantically involved?
I just finished my GCSEs and Rob was about to go to university.
So a long-distance relationship then?
Yes.
That's a lot of commitment at such a young age. Was it difficult?
Very. Especially as Rob was really paranoid. He'd phone from his halls or write letters accusing me of sleeping around. He'd say he had mates back at home keeping an eye on me, or that I'd been spotted out in town. In the end, I just stopped socialising.
So why didn't you break it off?
I was besotted. And when Rob came back during the holidays, he was a completely different person. He'd swear the only reason he got so jealous was because he couldn't bear being without me. He'd even talk about running away together. From his father, from uni, from everything. It all just seemed so romantic. Rob was my first proper boyfriend. I thought this was how true love felt.
Was that how you still felt when the two of you moved to North America?
Absolutely. Although in between we hadn't seen each other for years. Rob wanted me to go to the same university as him, but when I didn't get the grades, he just broke off contact.
If only he'd kept it that way.
Sorry?
To do with each other after that. Once he'd graduated, Rob moved to London.
I warned him, I told him she was soiled goods.
Oh, right.
But he wouldn't listen.
To get back together. Like I say, it had been quite a while.
She couldn't get her claws back into him fast enough.
And I've not had any serious relationships since we split up.
Oh, please, little hussy.
I never really got over him. 6 months later, we were married.
And who paid for the wedding?
Rob had found a job on a dairy farm in Minnesota.
Gold-digging tart.
Excuse me.
What's that?
It's my fault. I made a mistake. I don't know what
and
I was thinking.
And how was your marriage once you and your husband had moved to America? Did it change at all?
Yes. Almost immediately. It was just the two of us, and you need a car to get anywhere. Rob insisted that as soon as we could afford it, he'd buy me one so I could get out and meet people, but as time went on, it never materialised.
Did he offer you any reasons?
He'd say if we wanted to start a family, we needed to save money.
Did you want to start a family, Miss Myers?
Well, one day, but not in those circumstances. Rob kept changing jobs, first in the US and then in Canada. I didn't have any money except what he'd give me. No, the thought of it scared me to death. And if I ever said that to him, he'd fly off the handle. He'd point out how hard he was working and that I couldn't complain about being lonely and then not want to have kids. He just made me feel so selfish.
Miss Myers, did Mr. Titchener ever force you to have sex? I'm sorry to have to ask you that, but it is crucial.
Yes.
Would he physically restrain you?
Sometimes he'd grab me around the throat or hold me down by my wrists.
She's a liar! This whole trial...
Quiet! Please!
Our family did everything for that girl, despite her reputation and her history.
I said silence! I'm so sorry, Miss Myers.
Why isn't the court being told that?
Sir, if you can't control yourself, I shall be forced to adjourn.
She tried to fob my son off with a brat that wasn't even his.
Your Honour, this is unacceptable.
That'll be all. Remove the jury. I will rise until matters have calmed down.
God's sake, Dad, what the hell are you playing at?
Robert, don't raise your voice at me.
Raise my voice?
Someone has to tell the truth about these women of yours.
Well, could you leave that to me? It's the reason I'm stuck out here waiting to give my rebuttal.
And what's that going to be? More blubbing? More tears?
Well, better than trying to bully the court into convicting Helen. Dad, look, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have spoken to you like that. I'm just...
You know... It used to be that what happened between a man and his wife was their business. I despair of this country.
I know, I know. Julian, what's going on? How much longer till the trial resumes?
I wish I could say.
My father promises there won't be any more outbursts.
It's my right to be in that courtroom.
Yes, all right, Mr. Titchener. I'm afraid at the moment we have a more serious problem.
Such as what?
During the adjournment, one of the jurors has been found tweeting about the case. Judge Loomis has decided to halt the trial.
Halt it?
So what does that mean?
When will it start again?
To be perfectly frank, I can't guarantee that it will.
Pat, if I knew the answer, then so would you.
But will they have to replace the jury? Will it mean a new trial?
I don't know.
But, Tony, we can't go through this again. Just because someone put a message on Twitter, what would he do to Helen?
I know, Pat, I know. Oh, Tom, anything? Have you found Anna?
No, but I did track down Dominic.
And?
Does he know what's happening?
No, not really.
What does that mean?
He must have said something to you.
He showed me what it said in the tweet, and honestly, you'd rather not know.
No, come on.
What was in it?
I can't remember the precise
Tom,
words.
Tom, just tell us.
Please.
It said something like, sick of man-hating lezzers like Helen Titchener, gonna make sure she goes down for this.
Oh, my Lord.
Like I said...
Why would you ever write something like that?
Why would you even think
Don't
it?
Don't ask me. There are plenty of trolls out there, I guess.
Trolls?
You know, idiots who think it's funny to post abuse online. Scary thing is, they're still allowed on a jury.
Will they let me keep Jack?
Jack?
If there's a retrial, I mean, we can still stay together.
Helen, listen.
Anna, I can't do this a second time. Standing in that witness box, it was like being made to relive it all over again.
I know,
And what about Jess? After what Bruce did, could she withdraw her evidence?
Let's take one step at a time.
It's all right, sweetheart, come on.
Remember, Jess came forward once.
I know, but...
In the meantime, I've consulted with Judge Loomis. We've got a strong case for continuing the trial.
Come on, Jack.
He's not going to want it to collapse at such a late stage.
You don't think so?
Well, I seriously doubt it. It's up to him, though. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, as you're no doubt aware, one of your number has been found using social media to comment upon these proceedings. This is despite the repeated directions I've given you throughout the course of the trial. I've consulted with both counsel and decided that the juror concerned should be discharged and may well be prosecuted for contempt of court. Meanwhile, we will continue with the 11 of you who are left, which is perfectly permissible under the law. Nevertheless, I hope this serves as a final reminder that you are here to judge the case on the evidence presented to you, not on personal prejudice. With that said, Mr. Gorham, shall we carry on?
Mr. Titchener, some extremely defamatory allegations have been made against you over the course of this trial, which is why you've been called back to give evidence in rebuttal. How do you respond to Mrs. Titchener's claim you forced her to have sex?
It's completely untrue.
So you deny raping her then?
Of course I do.
Would it therefore surprise you to learn that your ex-wife, Ms. Myers, has made similar allegations? Do you deny raping her too?
Am I surprised?
Mr. Titchener, did you ever force yourself on her?
No, it's a disgusting lie. She's just out for revenge.
Revenge?
Yes. She's never forgiven me for divorcing her. Look, I freely admit I've made mistakes. When I got together with Helen, I was still married. It
It's not something I'm proud of, but I do know I did everything I could to try to fix things. Jess and I had been living and working abroad.
Yes, in the United States and in Canada.
But by the time I met Helen, Jess and I weren't even living together. Genuinely wasn't my intention, but these things happen. Jess has never come to terms with it.
Did she try to jeopardize your new relationship in any way?
Jess isn't a well lady. I don't want to start slinging mud.
No, but would you say you had an amicable divorce?
No. At one point, she even accused me of having fathered her child.
Was it yours?
No. I'd taken precautions. But she'd gone out and slept with some stranger because she thought it might stop me divorcing her. I know that's how crazy she can be. And it's why I say I did my best. For Jess and for Helen. Maybe there's something about me that's attractive to needy, unstable women. I wish I knew, because, genuinely, the two of them made my life hell.
Thank you, Mr. Titchener.
Isn't it enough that I almost died, that I'm still walking about with a bag strapped to my stomach, but now I'm going to have these allegations follow me around too? My wounds will heal, but that sort of suspicion never goes
and
away.
And I'm sure the court appreciates what a difficult time this has been
I
for
didn't
you.
Want to be here. I didn't cause any of this. And now all I want is to be able to put it behind me and concentrate on my children. Henry and Gideon have been through enough. They need a safe, loving home. That's why I'm asking you, begging you, please clear my name.
Well, at least the trial wasn't stopped. That's something to be relieved about, hey?
I suppose.
And now Jess has given her evidence too. I mean, the jury aren't going to take Rob's word over hers and Helen's.
Why not? He's one hell of an actor.
Yeah, I know.
Did you see their faces while he was doing his doting father performance? They were lapping it.
Okay, I know.
And look at that tweet. That's actually how some people think. And you're sure they'll be on Helen's side?
Come on, Dad. That was horrible. But it was one person, and they're not on the jury anymore. That's got to be a good thing. Well, hasn't it?
Oh, we'll see. Just the closing speeches to go and then the real wait begins. I'm not sure how I'll cope if we're sitting around for hours. And again, would a quick verdict be any better?
Dad.
Oh, forget it. Just ignore me.
No, but...
Your mother's coming. One of us has to keep it together.
Tony? Look who I found.
Johnny?
All right, Grandad.
What are you doing here?
Shouldn't you be looking after the farm?
I thought flip out. Neil and Jazz are on top of things.
Yes, but...
And Pip says she'll lend a hand if they need it. There was no way I could stay at home, though.
No, of course you couldn't.
I figured the only place I should be was with you guys.
I didn't want to put you through it, but now you've come. Oh, Johnny. Bless you. I'm so glad you're here.
Hey, no worries.
Tony... Oh, love.
Are you okay? How are you, Grandad?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. And besides, we need to go back in soon. The court only adjourned for a few minutes.
Look, sounds a bit daft, but it'll be the first time we've all been in the same room with Helen since... I don't know when.
No, you're right. I can't remember either.
Well, we're together now.
Yes.
Exactly.
The four of us and Helen.
We're still a family. No matter what happens next.
You have heard from Police Constable Harrison Burns, who attended the scene, who told you that Mrs. Titchener had attempted to clear up the mess, thereby tampering with vital evidence. You've heard from the doctor, who passed her fit for interview, and from the detective sergeant, who led the investigation, and told you that Mrs. Titchener steadfastly refused to comment over the course of 36 hours. Are these really the actions of an abused, traumatized woman whose only concern was the well-being of her child? You need have no doubts. By her own admission, she swore she would kill her husband. By her own admission, she paused after the first blow before striking again. By her own admission, she didn't call for an ambulance. And even if one were to accept that she honestly believed her son to be in danger... The force used far exceeded what was required. The defence have failed to present any evidence that shows Mr. Titchener was ever physically violent towards his son. Rather, he is a man who tried his hardest to protect his family from the increasingly erratic and disturbing behaviour of his sick, pregnant wife. And finally, let's not forget the evidence of young Henry Archer, an innocent, frightened little boy who told you he saw his mummy holding the knife and that his daddy did not threaten him. I put it to you that the defendant was not acting in self-defense. She attacked Mr. Titchener repeatedly and with such force in such vital areas of the body that she clearly intended to kill him.
Hey, come on, it's all right.
To do so.
I'm sorry.
No, no, it's fine.
I ask you, members of the jury, to find her
surely
guilty.
I can't lose my little girl
Thank
as
you.
Well.
You ain't going to lose her. Helen's coming home. This is all going to be over. You'll see.
Oh, bless you, Johnny.
Mr. Gorham, I invite the defence to make their closing remarks.
Thank you, Your Honour. Members of the jury, I ask you to acquit Helen Titchener on the counts of attempted murder and wounding with intent on the grounds of self-defence. Self-defence hangs on an individual's belief concerning the threat they or another person may have faced at the moment they acted. And that belief could be mistaken, but as long as it's honestly held, they are still deemed to have been acting in self-defence. Put yourself in the defendant's shoes for a moment and ask yourself, how desperate would you have to be to decide you had no choice but to leave your own home? Mrs. Titchener was heavily pregnant. Given her history, she could have gone into labour at any time. But nevertheless, she packed a few things in a bag for herself, her son, and her unborn baby, and made plans with her best friend to escape. Remember the evidence you heard from Miss Miller, who told us she became so concerned about Mrs. Titchener that she gave her the number for a domestic violence helpline and a mobile to ring it on. Remember too what you heard from Mr. Titchener's ex-wife, Miss Myers, and the startling similarity between hers and the defendant's evidence. Not being allowed to work, not being allowed to drive, not being able to see friends or family without being watched or tracked on a phone. Having one's whole life taken hostage, and if one dares to resist, having that used as proof of one's own instability. Bullying, mind games, sexual violence. By his own admission, Mr. Titchener hit his wife. And then imagine being her. After 2 years of gradual, escalating abuse, her husband presses a knife into her hands and tells her that the only way she can escape is by killing herself. Henry appears in the doorway and she, terrified, believing him to be in danger, acts only with a mother's most basic instinct. He's a little boy. How could he possibly know what was happening? How can any of us be sure we know without having been there? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Mrs. Titchener is a decent woman of good character. I ask you not to convict her for doing what any of us might have done in the same situation, protecting her child.
It is entirely up to you how you choose to run your discussions. But you may find it helpful to select one of your number to chair them so that everyone is able to have their say. Now, when you begin your discussions, a variety of views may be expressed on particular topics. But if you each listen respectfully to the views of others, experience shows that in almost all cases, juries are able to reach a verdict with which they all can agree. In any event, when you've reached your verdict, you will all come back into court to deliver it, and at this point the clerk will ask one of you to stand and speak on behalf of you all. Now, that's everything I have to say, ladies and gentlemen. You may now retire to deliberate.
This is the BBC.